Avery is here. Oh my gosh, it's the first Thursday of the month, and that means Bruce is here with the Chamber of Commerce, and we were just talking off the air. This gorgeous woman comes up to me Tuesday. I was performing with the Quincy Community Theater Act Two Players, and this gorgeous woman comes up to me and says, "I think you know my husband." And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, what super good-looking guy do I know that could get a chick like this? And I said, "Oh, who's that?" And she went, "Bruce Guthrie." I said, "The Bruce Guthrie that's on the Mary Griffith show?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You married him?" No. She's I really went high.
Yeah, she's a wonderful woman that puts up with me over 40 years, so you know.
Gosh.
She's great. So yeah, she said she met you, so that's good.
Now,
that's good.
Is she from Quincy too?
She grew up in Fowler.
Okay. So
yeah, she grew up in Fowler and her family was there, and
she was only after you because you were a big city boy.
A Minden. There you go, our big city
Maybe
boy.
Maybe I can get into Minden if I marry Bruce.
Yeah, they're going to Minden. Oh, man.
Well, she's delightful.
Well, I think she is, too, and I'm so appreciative of her because I wouldn't be where I'm at without her, I'll tell you that.
You know, it does. I was single for 53 years, but I tell you what, as hard as life is sometimes being married, it's a heck of a lot easier than
it is.
You always have somebody that's got your back.
Sure is.
She's delightful.
Well,
she's
great.
Delightful.
She's a best friend, and so I appreciate that. I have to tell her, unless she's listening this morning, I don't know if she is or not. So.
Oh, that was just funny. I mean, yeah, you.
Thank you.
You
thank you, Mary.
Did well.
I did.
Bruce.
I was very lucky. How she came across me, I don't know.
She saw potential.
Yeah, potential.
Let's talk about the Chamber of Commerce. This is a really critical time of year for chamber businesses that are in the retail sector. Now, of course, a lot of people in the chamber are not in the retail sector. I don't think Knapheide has a 25% off Christmas
on their truck
bed. Buy your truck bed now and deliver by December 24th. So a lot of businesses, you know, there's a seasonal component to it, but it's not a holiday seasonal component. But for businesses that do have a holiday seasonal component, this is make or break time.
Well, it really is, Marion, and I keep getting reminded of that. And I had a great conversation with a Farm and Home Supply CEO and the other day, and he was making that comment. He says, you know, we don't realize what this time of year means to our business, to the retail business. As you know, if you divide up the percentage of sales with a lot of these businesses, you know the time periods, and this is a huge part of it. I don't know, 70-80% of their revenue. So this is really important. And then on top of that, which is this whole unique year, I think every 7 years with the calendars, what the retail folks were telling me. I know I had a great
late Thanksgiving.
Yes, a late Thanksgiving. You lose 5 days of shopping or 6 days, something like that.
Don't worry.
Year.
According to Cyber Monday reports and Black Friday reports and Small Business Saturday reports and even Giving Tuesday reports, apparently we are making up for lost time.
I think we are, aren't we? I tell you what, it's been and everybody I've talked to in the retail business, I've talked to said it's been good. It was leading up to it was good. So that's great to hear. It's so important. And Mary, how many times have we said this? It is so important for our retail business. So what our retail business means to our community, if you really take a step back and take a really large view of how that affects in so many ways, and that's why we need to support and be appreciative, be patient during the holiday season and support these local businesses. And everybody from the big box stores to the little boutiques and stuff, we need to support them because they're our neighbors. They're the ones that support so many things, employ so many people during this time period.
And they also provide a local option for all the other people who don't work in a retail environment but are members of the Chamber of Commerce so that their employees have a quality of life. They don't have to drive down to St. Louis to get something. You know, Jeff Shooking's always laughing. He says, people go down to a big and tall men's shop and they drive all the way to St. Louis and pay, you know, all that gas money and all that tax down there when they could just come to...
Come here and do it.
Just come here across from Washington Park and he's got everything you need.
He's got everything you need, yeah.
We really do have, for a small community, because we are so isolated, we really do have the advantage that we have some things that towns this size wouldn't have elsewhere because, you know, if you're a town of 40,000, 38,000... and you're 10 miles away from Chicago, you're not going to have the stuff that Quincy has being 300 miles away from
Chicago.
We're
very unique in so many different ways here, and I get reminded of that all the time. And I speak to a lot of people all the time, and this past week I've had several people going, man, we have so many things that are going on here, and so many opportunities, from shopping to culture and music and all of these things that we have here. It's a wonderful community, and supporting these local businesses during this time is really important. I get it. You know, it is going online and doing some things, and we got to order some things and do. But whatever we can do to support local, let's do it, so we can have a great holiday season.
Well, now that we're getting an Amazon warehouse, I may even buy something 2 years from now from Amazon. I may buy my first Amazon purchase just to support my Quincy economy. Let's talk about the Chamber of Commerce. You have, what, 550?
We're 550. You know, Mary, we've had a really good year in regards we hit over 70 new businesses. I would say 70 members joined the Chamber. I would say new businesses. Some of those might have been business for a few years here. And it's been a really good year for us in that regard. And we really, I think, are hitting our mission, working hard to, help businesses succeed, help find what their pain points are, what they need, and help them thrive, be more successful. Because, again, it goes back to what we were just talking about. That makes the whole community great. So we've had a great year, over 70 businesses. Now, we've had, I don't know how many, people come to me and say, well, businesses are closed. I go, yes, that's part of, that just happens.
Well, that
happens
everywhere.
It happens everywhere.
That's part of the circle of life. I mean, you just never know what you want to do, of course. Some businesses close because their family wants to retire. Don't close because there's no need for their product anymore. They just simply don't want to do it anymore.
And that happens, yeah.
And sometimes they can't get a buyer. And sometimes, they just close up shop. Others readapt themselves so that they're not doing, the joke is, if Knapheide was still making horse-drawn wagons, they wouldn't have built a new factory out there, off of Cook's.
You
got
to evolve.
So you've got to evolve. Let's talk about the benefits of chamber membership. Some businesses have been in business for a while and then they finally join the chamber. That's good. You want everybody to. But really, the time to join the chamber is when you can't afford to join the chamber, when you're just starting out. That's when you need the benefits of the chamber the most of all, really.
Well, you really do. And Mary, we tell everybody, and when we go talk to businesses, I'm very big on this. I'm not sitting there to go, hey, here's all this big long list of stuff that we have for you, this stuff. I like to ask, what is your business about? What are your challenges? Okay, we have some things that can help you in these areas. We want to find out what your needs are. I can sit here all day long and go, oh, we can offer you this and this and this and this, the directory and business after hours and everything. That's great. But we want to know what is your challenges in business. What are you looking for the value of your membership that you're giving us dollars? What is your value? What do you want out of it? And so then we try to look at areas to help them. And what we're finding is now is we're being very fortunate, I think, going the right direction. We're getting people calling us and go, hey, we like what we see you're doing. We love these seminars. We like this. We like that. And we want to join and be part of this. I've had companies call me. Big companies that who haven't been part of the chamber and go, hey, we need to be part of the chamber. We need to be part of this growing group of people who are businesses that want to help each other and want to be successful. And that's what we want to create. We want to create the best chamber anywhere is right here in Quincy, and that's what we want to do, and we want to help these businesses be successful, and we can give you opportunities in so many different ways. And a lot of times this too, Mary, is you need to step forward as a business owner or you're running a business or executive and go, hey, I need to do this or do that. I need to get involved. Sometimes, I know it's very challenging at times. I try to work with businesses and say, hey, can you find your niche where you can get involved? Not everybody can go to this event or seminars or whatever, but we offer so many things for people. We've had, like I said, 70 new businesses, we're really excited about. We've changed a lot of operational and internal things.
Yeah,
it's been very challenging, and we got through it.
And you're moving to a new location.
Yes.
Give me an update on when that new location.
It got good time. We're hoping to close here in the next few weeks, finalizing all the financial elements of it. Today's a big day in that regard. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on some things, and we hope to make official here in a few weeks and do a closing. And then we will start, this is at 5th and Hampshire, and the folks at WGM have been great to us in that building. And we will then start some, we've got to put a new entrance in on Hampshire Street. We're going to do some other remodeling. The studio areas, everybody sees the glass here, that'll be a community room where we'll do all our seminars and meetings. And then behind that, on that first floor, will be our major boardroom.
The Chamber of Commerce, the district, and Gretiff are all going in there. And you already work so symbiotically together, but you have different roles. But it'll be, you know, like you said, it's nice that if somebody calls and says, well, that's really a Gretiff thing, you can just go next door to the next office down.
Any business that wants any type of information, any assistance, any direction, they got one place to go, and that'll be at, you know, 501 Hampshire. And that's what we're really keen on.
Yeah, cost savings, too, because I imagine you'll share copiers, you'll share some phone systems, you'll share things.
Down the road, yeah, we're starting on that. Then down the road, we're going to be able to get some more efficiencies together and find out. You know, we're new roommates moving in together. You know, so we're going to be able to find out what works best.
Guthrie, are you going to be the one that leaves dirty dishes?
Well, I give that to Kyle mostly.
Okay.
That's Kyle. Yeah, that's the one I have to keep an eye on. Kyle Moore, you got to keep an eye on him and the dirty dishes. So we're just really excited about it because it's an opportunity for us to create some real synergy there. And also, like you said, working together, we have some of the same mission. We're not exactly the same, but a lot of commonalities because business is a big part of what we do, of course. And we're talking to a lot of the same people. So you come there, you can get everything you need.
It's going to be at 5th and Hampshire. WGEM now uses that. I don't even know. I guess they still use it.
They got about a couple people in there. They really have a couple people there. They've been working on getting it emptied out.
That was the corporate headquarters for Quincy Broadcasting, Inc. when they owned a lot of things, and then they were sold. And now, obviously, I think it's Gray Media. Doesn't need that building. They have a building somewhere else. So a nice building in our downtown area that has been well-maintained will be coming under the purview of the Chamber, Gretiff, and, of course, the district. What else do we need to talk about? You probably don't have a whole lot of seminars and stuff coming up in December.
We do have a business after hours coming up at State Street Bank next week. It's our last business after hours. It's always a great one at State Street. Real excited about that. We're excited about next year. Of course, in January, we've got our Hall of Fame and annual meeting ceremony, and we got our two Tony Crane, Architechnics, of course, and Carl Schmiedeschamp at the law firm. And you know what, Mary? Every time I do this is my third year getting into knowing these people more. It's amazing what they've done for Quincy. Tony Crane, he told me the whole story about the Oak Lindsay Center.
Yeah.
And that started, get this, that
at
started.
University of Illinois.
Yes, as his thesis project. And then he told me all.
What did he get on it? Wouldn't it be funny if his architectural professor said, Crane, you'll never amount to anything. Nobody will ever build this damn building. I'm giving you a D.
God. Yes. And look at that.
Yeah.
And then he told me.
But he probably got an A+.
And the challenges and the hurdles they had to go through to get that built,
God,
the financing, the dollars, the flood came in the middle of it. Then he's done work out at John Wood. Mm-hmm. And then I had
Have you ever had, course the answer is no. This will be a guy receiving an award for lifetime achievement in architecture and other things in a building that he built.
It's so true.
It's like...
So true. It's an amazing story.
I mean, when he's in college, you're like, someday I am going to be the most famous architect in Quincy, Illinois. Where do I want my honorary banquet luncheon to be held?
Okay.
I think I'll make my own designation.
I wonder if he put that part of that thesis. I got to ask if he had that in there. Yeah.
You know, he ought to bring that. If he has it, a copy of
he's
it.
He's got,
really
let me tell you what, if you, know Tony, if you know Tony, he's one of the most organized.
Yeah.
I guess that comes being an architect, maybe.
Precision. Yeah. Everything's got to be
precise. He's got everything for me prepared. I've started to look through this box of materials because we prepare the video and a lot of history on him. And he does have photos. And it's amazing, Mary. It's an amazing thing. And then I'm understanding more about Carl Schmiedeschamp. Oh, my gosh. He was a very quiet, he vicious in the court of law. He was great. You know, he represented
a lot of
the Napides. the Mormons, you know, all the names of Quincy back in the day. He represented not only the company, but the individuals. He helped create the Mormon Foundation, the Quincy Project, mm-hmm. and the dollars that flowed through all those things that no one knows about. They did it, just did it. Is amazing, and things they were able to do to this community, and he built this law firm.
And continues on. This law firm today is
yes.
probably, you know, I mean, obviously it's arguable, but I think it's the premier law firm in the city of Quincy now,
yes.
and the people that are partners there today carry on much of the same with their public engagement and their contributions in Quincy too. Well, I will tell you, I'll share a little story with you. When the Civic Center was going to be built, or when it was proposed, Peoria had already built a civic center, and the state of Illinois was trying to get tourism and get these civic centers built, and Peoria's wasn't making any money. And the city of Quincy said, we're not going to give you, I mean, no, we don't want to be involved in this because we don't have money to subsidize this, and this is a loser. I mean, it's a nice draw, it's beautiful, but how is this thing going to pay for itself? So the only way that Quincy, quote unquote, could get the match from the state was to have a private match. And it was the theater, the Quincy Community Theater, who stepped up and said, we'll raise the $1.5 million local match. City tax dollars don't have to pay a penny for that. And so it turned out to be a pretty good gamble, and it worked out. And here's another little trivia question, and maybe wrong now, but it was true at the time. Where are the tallest set of doors in Quincy?
Quite the trivia question there, Mary.
Backstage. At Quincy Community
Backstage
Theater.
Backstage is the top. Well,
because
yeah.
they have to
yeah.
bring in big, huge things. So they have these enormous doors. You know how
they
the
do.
Civic Center goes up
yes.
for the theater because of all the lighting and drops and all these things that have to be elevated in the air to be brought in? Well,
well
you can't bring in tall stuff if you don't have a tall
you gotta
door.
You got to have that out there. What a great little theater. Great job. And I am
Tony Crane, thank you.
Tony Crane, exactly.
Yeah. Tony,
Tony's
thank
amazing.
Thank you, because I know when you were in college, you were thinking, gee whiz, I bet there's a younger woman to come to Illinois someday, and she'll have aspiring as an actress, and I'm going to build this stage
for her to perform on.
You
yes.
know, to perform on. Absolutely. It's kind of like the Ryman Auditorium. If they ever redo Quincy Community Theater, they're going to cut out that piece of flooring where I made my debut.
Mary, you're getting a little sentimental on here on your.
Well, I just really appreciate Tony Crane for building that dang
thing. I'm glad you said, because when I started digging into what he's done and what they've done, what they've done for this mm-hmm. community. And one thing about Tony's he has done so much in the community. He's one of the nicest people. And he was Mary, I would tell you that he was so emotional on this. He didn't know he'd been nominated whenever, you know, this could have been nominated. I don't know what year he's nominated. But amazing. I'm really thrilled about him and Carl, and we're so excited to be able to do that in January 15th. And tickets are on sale for that. It's a luncheon. It's at the Oak Lindsay Center. Of course, you're right. I mean,
it's a great luncheon. I was there last year. It was really fun. The food is good.
It's good food. It's good.
You
we
really
have a good
get
time.
To learn a lot about these people and as people, because it's not just your profession. Again, you can be the best lawyer in the world. You can be the best architect in the world. But if you're not a genuinely community-involved person, you're not going to get these kind of accolades. So it's not just, am I at the top of my profession? But am I using my profession and my expertise to advance the public good? And
that's
pretty
exactly
much
right.
What the chamber is trying to get.
That center would not have been built. A lot of things would have done. What Carl Schmiedeskamp got involved with long ago, with a lot of the fundraising, the Mormon Foundation, the Quincy Project, this different things, because there's a they've saved that area, saved a lot of businesses and a lot of things in this community, major mm-hmm. things financially, and they did it for the good of the community. Exactly right.
And they
right.
did a lot of it anonymously, because
yes.
I've been in the fund development world, and I can tell you, I can tell you, but
yeah,
you'll have to kill me.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when you see anonymous, yeah, they don't want any credit for
no.
anything they're doing. They just want to make our community better.
And that's what makes a community, and that's what makes this community so great and such a great community, is because
unlike
of people
me,
like that.
I want credit for everything I do, even though I don't do anything. So anyway.
And you do a great job for the community, Mary. So
sure,
we really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, has anybody nominated me yet? No, I don't
think
so.
You never know, Mary. You never know.
Well, when you get one in crayon, it's because, I volunteer in the second grade yesterday.
Ah.
If you want to have fun, try to teach some second graders how to say some words in French. It was hysterical.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been something.
It was hysterical. We have a little passport system. We travel all over the world.
Oh.
And yesterday we went to France, and we made a bouche de Noël.
Oh, my gosh.
So they had to make a little Yule log, is what it is. Then it was cute. And nothing says this could be a disaster like giving children green icing.
And green
say,
icing.
Decorate your Yule log with leaves. And then the M&Ms were used for the red berries for the holly. And, of course, what do you do with the green M&Ms?
You have to eat them. Yes,
yeah.
Eat them, yes.
So it's amazing.
Eat those.
There were 22 children. Each of them got 3 red M&Ms, and yet, amazingly, a whole pound bag of M&Ms was consumed by this project. Perhaps Mrs. Pinky was...
They need food while they're working.
Mrs. Pinky needs some nourishment, too.
Yeah.
Bruce, always a pleasure. Give my best to your lovely wife.
I sure will, Mary. Thank you, and thank you, and have a happy holiday.
And everybody, if you haven't joined the Chamber of Commerce, do it. You will get something out of it, and if whatever you need, they'll make it happen for you. That's the great thing. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to join a gym. What you need to do is say, hey, I need a Pilates machine, or I need an upside-down teeter-totter thing. If they have one, or if they don't
exactly.
have one, they'll get it for you. He's the upside-down teeter-totter man. Thank you, Bruce Guthrie.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas
Aren't
to you.
Always glad you come in here.
I love coming here, Mary. It's good to see you.
You. We will be back. We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what is happening up there on the farm markets. And then we're going to talk about choo-choo trains. Stay tuned.
Oh, Mary.
Looking forward to that event on Saturday night. Also looking forward to an event all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And that's the Quincy Society of Model Engineers 2024 Model Railroad Open House. Chuck Fitch is here. And they'll have their operating layouts and all their trains running at the Good Samaritan Home, 2130 Harrison Street. Yes, it's not just a nursing home. If you go in the basement... It's a model train extravaganza down there, 365 days a year. But once a year, you guys open up for the open house. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's nice being here.
Before we get to this, because I think everybody understands what a model train layout is, and we want you to go Saturday from noon to 5 or Sunday from noon to 4. It's absolutely free. They love showing off their creations. Tell us a little bit about this Model Railroad Club, this Quincy Society of Model Engineers.
Well, back in 1960, there were some guys from Hannibal and Quincy who had layouts in the basement. And so they started getting together once a month at various homes. In about 68, they said, well, let's form a club. They picked a name, started issuing membership cards, and then really got kicked off in 74. Harris Broadcast Products asked them to make a portable 8x16-foot layout. Some of the members of the club worked at Harris. They had a broadcaster's convention. They had new TV cameras they wanted to show. They wanted color and movement. So these guys made this portable layout. They said, why don't we have our own club layout? And Reverend Bill Foose, who was administrator at Good Sam, was a member of the club. They said, hey, we've got this room in the basement. It's 16 by 80-some feet long. We're not using it. Why doesn't the club build a layout there? So we did. We have filled the entire room with this layout.
And it's permanent.
It's not something you can take apart and move.
But the great thing is it's permanently there at Good Samaritan Home, so you guys have a place to keep building and playing and changing because it always gets remodeled.
Oh, we always change.
But then Good Samaritan also allows you to spill over when you have your shows like this one this weekend. You spill over into a more common area and have even more stuff.
Yeah, their meeting room down next to the layout. There's going to be at least 2 portable layouts. One of them is an N-gauge, so it's a smaller. We're an HO, and that'll be there. And then another gentleman has one, I believe it's, I can't remember where it's HO or it's S. And he's got this portable layout that So we're going to be running those two layouts in the meeting room, and we're going to have some other displays in the meeting room. I mean, we're promoting the hobby, and one of the things we want people to do is come down and ask us questions. Look at it and say, hey, how does that work? Or how can I do that at home? And we'll be happy to show you and explain to you how you can create your own layout.
And that's the whole purpose of this, is to get more people involved in this as a hobby. Now, in the years I've gone, I haven't gone every year, but I try to go every year because it's so fascinating. And I'm a little kid myself, so I like when you take, like, you have this machinery, you can load a log onto a truck, and the truck drives over to the train, and the train, you load the log onto the train, and then the train takes the lumber, you know. And the kids love it because they can, themselves, guide this machinery, whether it's somebody loading a bale of hay or cattle. I know there's a thing where the cows can walk up the ramp to the cattle car. The railroad is still the backbone of America, but we don't think about it as much anymore because in the olden days, everything moved by rail, including humans. Mm-hmm. And now, unless you're going to go on a train trip to Amtrak up to Chicago, you're not moving by rail, a lot of people.
The only time people see trains today is when the train is going across the road they're on and they have to stop and wait for the train. That's the only time they think about the trains. But it moves so much. Like Quincy has a line. If you stop and think about it, across the river in Quincy, you have the line that comes out of Chicago. There's a line that comes out of Burlington, Iowa, into Quincy. Going south, you can go to the west to Kansas City or south to St. Louis. So there's a lot of traffic through that rail yard across the river.
Absolutely. And if you've been out to, is it Norfolk? Where is the biggest train? It's out, is it in, it's in Nebraska, isn't it?
Grand Island, Nebraska.
Oh, my gosh.
Union Pacific has a big yard, and so they have a tower.
Yeah.
You go up, and you can see the whole yard spread out.
So, I mean, you know, we don't get to see that here, but even locally, you know, you can kind of see train movement. Like you said, West Quincy has the, all the Amtrak trains have to go to West Quincy to turn around on the little roundabout thing they have there. The thing about it is, this as a hobby is in decline, though.
Yeah, it's for a while it was. I think it's kind of in a
COVID
holding pattern right now.
Because some people in COVID said, "God, I have nothing to do, and this is something
I've
always been interested
in." Yeah, they're looking for something to do. There's more things for people to do today than there was when you and I were kids.
Right.
So this is going to get shared with multiple other activities that people have or their kids have. But you have to think, this is a hobby that if you have children, this is a great hobby. The kids can get involved. The kids can help you build. The kids can help you do the scenery. The kids can run the trains. And when winter comes, if you want to do something as a family, come down. Mom can help with the scenery. She can help with the trees and the flowers and the landscaping. And, you know, it's something everybody in the family can do.
And the thing that I love about it is, children have a natural mechanical bent. They want to know how things work. They like to see things work. And the fact that these two trains can be coming and you can switch it off to a sidetrack so they don't collide, or you can time it, you know, so that they're
what's
going.
What's amazing is today, we run our trains. You're not, you have a power pack or a throttle. You're holding your cell phone or a little box the size of a cell phone, and you're by radio controlling your train. I could control my trains with my cell phone.
Yeah.
And
so it's as high tech as the kids want it to be.
It is. The technology has just grown. It's amazing what you can do.
Now, this thing is Saturday from noon to 5, Sunday from noon to 4 at Good Samaritan Home, 21st and Harrison. Plenty of parking on that campus there. Probably the best door to enter is the front door.
Yeah.
You know, that's
and
where
we'll
most
have
people
signs and we'll have railroad crossbucks directing you. And one of the things we want people to do when we have the open house is to look at Good Samaritan. A lot of people don't think about it. What is it? They don't know.
Well, they see the outside, but unless they have a family member there, it's gorgeous.
So this also gets people into Good Sam. They'll look at Good Sam and say, hey, this is pretty nice. I had my grandmother stay there, my mom stay there. The service was outstanding. So it's another way to promote. We can promote Good Sam as a way of us thanking them for allowing them to use the room in the basement.
If you're thinking about staying at Good Sam, I'd get my name on the list. because they're going to have to tear down the railroad pretty soon and put some more beds down there. No, it's interesting. One of my girlfriends just moved into the independent living, you know, homes that are there. And they've got all different kinds of cottages and condos and every price point you can imagine. Yeah. And like you said, I was just performing out there. My group from Quincy Community Theater, we go around and perform at different places. And we always perform at Good Sam. And it's great to see the people active and engaged out there.
Yeah.
It's a labyrinth out there. You know, try to find your way back to the chapel. You know, it's you are praying by the time you get there. Please, Lord, don't let me get lost. But it's a big complex.
It is.
You don't see, you don't realize how far it goes back,
I mean, I've got a group of retired guys. We go to coffee 5 days a week. And two of the guys have their own cottage out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're thrilled. So come see our layout. You'll be amazed at the size of it and what we can do. We'll have 4 or 5 trains running at the same time.
Right. And they plan. I mean, and this is the brilliant because they're just not going to ever hit it. You know, this is part of the fun of it, is to have the different kinds. You'll have models there of like Amtrak or passenger trains. You'll have some real old fashioned, probably steam locomotives.
We'll have steam locomotives and diesel locomotives and
the most modern thing and the most
and there's
ancient
a,
thing.
There's like a little town, and it's all lit up, and then all the businesses work, and there's theater and a gas station, and there's the crossing lights where the roads cross the tracks. There's crossing lights that come on when the train goes by. And there's the dispatcher's panel. There's a guy sitting there behind this panel, and he controls everything, just like the trains going through Quincy. Burlington Northern has a dispatcher that's controlling them and tell them where to go, when to stop, when to go into siding. We have that dispatcher. We operate just like a real railroad.
They love the railroad so much, they don't get the pension from the railroad. That's the bad news. But they love pretending that they are the engineer. The 2024 Model Railroad Open House. Again, folks, this happens every year around Christmas time. Yeah. It's a precursor to Christmas. If you've got kids, don't think, oh, my kids won't like that because it's not a video game. They will love it.
See, I always had a train under the Christmas tree. And when my wife and I got married, which was 52 and a half years ago, my wedding gift was a Lionel train. So every year, that goes under our Christmas tree.
You just said how old you are. That was bad planning. Chuck Fitch, thank you so very much. Folks, get out and see the operating layouts and displays at Good Samaritan Home. You can join the club if you want to at that time, but it's free of charge Saturday, noon to 5, Sunday, noon to 4. You have a wonderful weekend. I know you will.
And Mary, we thank you and Star Radio for helping promote and allowing me to come on. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.